podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning, Bridgeway. It's been so good to be here worshiping with you this morning. I want to dive right into our messy message. I promise the message itself shouldn't be messy, but it is in the messy series. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you remember back to some of your favorite memories around dinner tables? Can you think of memories like that stick out to you where you've had them around dinner tables and they've mattered to you, whether in a great way or a not so great way? Some of my best memories in life come from around the dinner table, whether it's family holiday meals growing up with my parents and my sister, or whether it was even at my in-laws' dinner table when I asked for their permission to have their daughter's hand in marriage. These memories just stick out to me, and they're good, very, very good memories. But for some of you, as you think of memories around the dinner table, maybe you don't think of the good memories. Maybe you think of the awkward ones. Have you ever had an awkward memory or experience around the dinner table, whether in your home or someone else's? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I want to give you a short example. I want to watch this clip together just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Right, so maybe you've had an experience like that around the dinner table where it's not the best of memories, but it was awkward or weird, or no matter what it is, whether you've been at a dinner or around a dinner table and you've had bad hosts, or maybe it's your table and you've had bad guests, some of those experiences are just different, aren't they? And so I want to jump into one of those different experiences this morning in Scripture, one of those dinner table experiences that happens in the book of Luke, and it happens with two sisters. And so we're going to dive in this morning to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 38 through 42. So if you have your Bibles with you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, open up to Luke 10, 38 through 42, or you can follow on the screens behind me. Luke 10 jumps in. It says this: "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered." I want to pause there for one moment. I found two other spots in Scripture where Jesus responds to somebody by saying their name twice. One of those comes from Luke 22, where Jesus says, "Simon, Simon," to Simon Peter when the disciples are arguing over which one of them is the greatest. Jesus says, "Simon, Simon." He's like really trying to get their attention, his attention. And then in Acts 9, Jesus says, "Saul, Saul," to Saul on his way to Damascus leading up to his conversion, and he changes his name to Paul. And so these moments where Jesus kind of hones in and says, hey, listen, I want you to catch this. This is super important. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary, your sister, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, this is one of those family dinners where after you leave the table and you're walking away, you're going to your car with your spouse, you're like, awkward, right? Like you got to watch like one of these sisters get scolded. And yet I believe this passage of Scripture, it teaches us a lot about our posture when it comes to Christ. I believe it teaches us a lot about our approach to our relationship with God, which brings us to our first point, something that stuck out to me from this passage, and that's this, that Martha honored Christ as a guest. You see, when we first read this story, we know this story, we think about this story, we typically jump in and go, yeah, Martha was in the wrong, Jesus scolded her in front of everybody, Martha clearly in the wrong, and we kind of just remember that. The natural conclusion is for us to just assume that Martha was too consumed with the meal preparations. But I believe there's something to be said for Martha's actions, because you see, Martha took action. What do we usually do when we have guests in our homes? Usually we We go out of our way for them, don't we? Usually we put out our best for them. And so my question this morning in regards to Martha's actions is this. When was the last time you went out of your way for God? When was the last time you pulled out all the stops for God as a guest in your life? You see, unfortunately, I can think back to many times in my own life where I didn't give God my best. Where instead of jumping out of my seat and serving God and others, I was complacent or overly comfortable. And I even thought to myself, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. And yet God calls for our best. He wants the best version of you and I that we have to offer. So you can laugh at me here, but when I read this story in Scripture and I think about Martha, the little kid in me can't help but think back to a particular scene from an animated movie I watched growing up called Beauty and the Beast. And so bear with me here as I replay this scene in my head, but also in person to you. A scene goes like this. It says, "Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres, why we only live to serve." I think of that. And I ask myself the question, when was the last time I lived to serve? When was the last time my life was about serving? You see, in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, it says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." And then this last line of that passage says this, "It is the Lord Christ you are serving." When you serve people, you serve God. You see, sometimes I believe we need to get out of our chairs and start taking action, start serving like Martha. So often do we just talk about it but never put our words into action. There are opportunities, I believe, all over our extended community, whether at food banks or homeless shelters or here in the church or in our neighborhoods. There's opportunities for serving. The opportunities are endless. And so we ask ourselves the question, or we need to ask ourselves the question, how can I serve God? How can I serve God? But that's just one piece of the pie, so I want to keep moving. Here's the second thing that I pull out of that passage in regards to the story of Mary and Martha. If Martha honored Christ as a guest, then Mary honored Christ as a teacher. See, others of us come to a different conclusion that we think of, when we see Mary, maybe we think of the negative aspects of her part in that story. Maybe we see Mary as like this teacher's pet with like the apple in her lap, like waiting to give it to the teacher and just kind of be there as a brown noser. I don't know. We maybe think of her in that light, that she's just trying to get out of work. You know, like typical like sibling feelings that we've, if any of you have siblings in here, maybe you've had these feelings about one of them before. Clearly though, Jesus applauds Mary's decision to sit and listen at his feet. So why? I believe it's because in that moment, Mary was partaking in the right meal. You see, while Martha was preparing the physical meal, Mary was preparing for the soul food that Jesus has to offer. That while bread for the body is important, food for the soul is, in Jesus' words, the one thing needed in this moment. You see, Mary is worshiping God in this moment. How often in life do we find ourselves too busy to spend time with God? Are we actually too busy, or is that just something we say to make ourselves sound important? How often are we too busy to take time out of our day, out of our schedules, to hear the heartbeat of the Creator like Mary? God calls us to find that time in our daily life. Maybe for you it is. It's first thing in the morning. Maybe it's last thing at night. Maybe it's before every meal, remembering to give thanks for God's gift of life. Maybe it's with your kids as they go to sleep at night. Whenever it is, I believe God calls us to be connected to him on a daily basis, because it takes two to tango in a relationship. And Mary does that. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. And so it puts everything else in her world off to the side and just hones in on the Father. And so if Martha honored Christ as a guest and Mary honored Christ as a teacher, then I think if you take the two of those things and put them together, this is the third thing I pull from the passage. I think we must be hearers and doers of God's word. As Christ followers, we must be hearers and doers of God's word. You see, I believe that Jesus isn't so much condemning Martha as he is commending Mary's decision. He's not necessarily saying that one is wrong and the other is right, but he does set priorities by saying that one is better in that moment, that only one of those decisions is needed. And looking back at that passage, Jesus calls Martha out partially because of her attitude and posture while preparing the physical meal. He says, "You are worried and upset about many things." You are worried and upset about many things. Are you so worried and upset about the many things that are going on, the many messy things that are going on in life, that you're missing an opportunity to sit at the feet of the Father? You're worried and upset about many things. Have you ever served for the wrong reasons? Have you ever done something good with selfish intentions? I'm guilty as charged. I know I've done this in the past. Let's be candid for a second. We've all probably done good things at some point in our life in the past just to bring glory to our own names and not necessarily to God's. Because why? Because I think we as people, we like recognition. We like recognition. We like being recognized for the things that we've done or are doing. It makes us feel good. And yet I think you and I have both been on this earth long enough to know that name recognition, it comes and goes. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's not something that sticks around. If you don't believe me, I'm going to give you a few names. And I want to see if you know these names, you know these people. Here's the first. Have you ever heard of Sir John Harrington? If you've never heard of Sir John Harrington, he's a super important guy because he invented something that we use every single day, or at least I hope we use every single day. He invented the flushing toilet. He invented the toilet that flushes. This is a huge deal. It changed human life, right? This is a big deal, and yet none of us know, I'm going to assume, none of us in this room, before I just mentioned his name, know who Sir John Harrington was. Listen, if he invented the flushing toilet. If you have a porcelain throne at home, you have Sir John Harrington to thank for that. And maybe we should all be thinking about him the next time we're using that. I don't know. What about this? What about this person? How about Mary Anderson? You ever heard of her? Mary Anderson. Another really big deal. She also, an inventor, whether she realized it or not, invented something that a lot of us used this morning on our way here through the rain. She invented the windshield wiper, something that every single one of us adults here in the room use on a pretty consistent basis when we jump in our cars. That's her legacy. She was sitting in the car with someone else in 1902 when she realized that the driver had to keep stopping and getting out and hand wiping the snow off the window. And she came up with the idea and had it patented. And yet none of us in here know who Mary Anderson is, for the most part. What about Larry LaPrise? Larry LaPrise, he wrote the Hokey Pokey. That's a big deal. He wrote the Hokey Pokey. That's what he's famous for. Yeah, a lot of us don't know who he is. He passed away in 1996, and apparently when he passed away and they were burying him, they had a hard time getting him in the casket because they put the left hand in and the right hand would come out. You don't have to laugh at that. That's terrible. That's awful. When I wrote that, I was like, am I really going to say that out loud? I did. And yet none of us remember Larry LaPrise. or his name. Name recognition, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and yet so often we act because we like recognition. We get so wrapped up in our own selfish desires at times when right here in Scripture, we see that Jesus says, only one thing is needed, to sit at the feet of the Father and worship. And then from there, actions, I believe, come naturally, but one thing is needed, first and foremost, is to sit at the feet of the Father and worship. And I believe what Jesus is saying here, it's familiar, because we see something similar to that again in John 15, when Jesus says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, before we act, we must be in tune with God. Or our actions and our activities, they'll be fruitless. We must prioritize spending time with Jesus, spending time listening to him, spending time talking with him, learning from him, worshiping him like Mary, and then taking action like Martha, because he's not afraid of the mess. If you don't know that this morning, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is not afraid of the mess, whether it's your mess or someone else's. He's not afraid of it, and he will always step towards it. But it starts in our lives, it starts with worship. You see, we must worship not for ourselves, but for God's glory. We must worship not for ourselves, but for God's glory. You see, I believe we have a unique experience this morning. At this moment, I'm going to ask if our worship team can come back up on the stage. They're going to lead us in worship as we wrap up the service. And as they do, I'm going to ask for this. I'm going to ask that we recognize that we have a unique opportunity right here and right now this morning. We have a unique opportunity to sit at the feet of the Father, to be connected, to connect to him, to worship him. No matter how that looks for you, to worship him this morning. It might look different for each and every single one of you, and that's okay. For some of you, maybe that looks like reflecting on his goodness. And maybe you just need to sit and reflect. Maybe you just need to listen to what he's speaking into your life in this moment. For others of you, that looks like standing up and singing his praises. And saying, praise God for what he's done in my life. Praise God for what he's doing in the lives of others that are around me. Praise God for what he's doing in the midst of our culture. That sounds really weird right now to say that. But praise God for what he's doing in the midst of our culture right now, because even though it's a mess, he's still walking towards it. To connect to the vine in a way that fills us up and produces fruit in our lives is key when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I once heard a pastor compare a weekend church service to a gas station, and this is what he said about it. He said, basically, when you go to a gas station, you don't go there to shop, typically, even though there's a convenience store inside. You go there to fill up your gas tank and then leave and go out into the world. And then once you've gone out into the world, at some point, your tank gets low again. It gets close to empty, and you come back to the gas station and fill back up. We as Christ followers, and we're called to come and connect. We're called to come and connect. We're called to come and fill ourselves up with Jesus. And then we go from this place and we serve like Martha. And through our serving, as we pour out what Jesus filled us up with, we come back again and fill ourselves back up and go back out and come back and fill up and go back out and pour out. And so this is what I want to do this morning. As we worship, I encourage you to find a way to be connected with God and serve him this week. It's really easy to think about this like future-wise, like way out there. Like, oh, how can I connect and serve God at some point in my life? I want to challenge every single one of us, myself included, to figure out a way to connect. Maybe this is it right here, right now. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. And then to go and to serve. This week, what would it look like if we all sat down with God this week to seek out how we can serve? The thought of seeing how God would bring about good from that is just exciting to me. That's exciting to me when I think about the ways that God is going to work in and through us when we open ourselves up to that. So I challenge you this morning. I challenge us this morning to use this opportunity to see that this is an opportunity to connect, fill ourselves up, go out and serve. And when we serve others, we serve God. I believe God calls us to that. All of us. He calls us to that. Mess and all. Whether we've got everything figured out in our life right now or not, God calls us to that mess and all. You see, God qualifies the unqualified. And so if you're sitting there this morning, if you're like, I don't know that this is me. I don't know how God could use me. Push that thought to the side, open yourself up, and let God speak into your life in a way where you're just compelled to go out, to worship him here and go and serve, mess and all. And so God, I pray this morning, I pray that we recognize that you are calling us to do that, that we can't just be complacent in our relationship with you, God, that we can't just sit down all the time, God, on our seats and not put into action the words that you've put into our hearts. God, we worship you this morning. We recognize that this is an opportunity. And in this opportunity, we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what you're doing in this moment. God, you are doing something in this moment. You're doing a new thing in every moment. God, I pray that we don't miss it this morning. I pray that we sense the ways you're speaking to us. God, that like Mary, we would sit at your feet. God, we would take in all of your presence. God, that when we hear your words into our heart, God, that we would take them from there and put them into action. God, that's called obedience. God, I pray this morning that if we're feeling that call to be obedient, to worship and serve, God, that we would do so in the midst of the messiness, whether it's the messiness in ourselves or the messiness in our culture, God, the messiness in our families sitting around the dinner table, it doesn't matter. God, you call us. We've been called. So God, I pray that we answer this morning. And we do all that, praising and worshiping you as we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand?
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.